Amen. Let's take our Bible and turn to the Old Testament text of Ruth, the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. Right there between Judges and 1 Samuel. Amen. You'll find your place there. I tell you, if you walk with the Lord very long, if you have walked over very long, you'll ask that question he was talking about. Lord, why am I here and what are you doing? Amen. Nothing wrong with asking the Lord a question with the right attitude. Yeah. Amen. Nothing wrong with that at all. Amen. All right. Let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Ruth, chapter number 2. Ruth, chapter number 2. Now, we started on Sunday night preaching through the book of Ruth, and we haven't got detoured really from that, except there is several things that went on. Of course, on every third Sunday night, we have a missionary that comes through, and then we've had some other preachers to visit with us, a different thing. But we preached on the very first message on the book of Ruth. We preached on what was going to cause you to leave the house of bread. Amen. And then we talked about the faith of Naomi, preached another sermon on the faith of Naomi. And we looked at that testimony of the witnessing stranger. It's in chapter number 1. As a matter of fact, let's go to chapter 1 there. It's just right. If you turn to chapter 2, it should be right there close. Okay, y'all figure that out, okay? Ruth chapter, go back to chapter 1 there for just a second. And, you know, that witness, that, I love that witness, amen? I really love that witness that he gives there. Then she wrote, let me see if I can find it here real fast. Let me see. Yes, verse number 6. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people. Amen. And what a blessing that is. So we looked at that witness of a testimony of a witnessing stranger. We don't know who he is. He's an unknown stranger. And he comes by witnessing that, hey, God's a blessing back down at Bethlehem, Judea. God's a blessing, the house of bread. Now, God always was blessing, but sometimes famines come. Famine, there's 13 famines in the Word of God. Most of the time those famines come because of things that the people of God has done wrong. And most of the time, that's the reason they come. Amen. They come. And of course, we know 13 is a number of rebellion. But anyway, and then I preached on that same thought, testimony of the wandering saint. We went to Sister Naomi at the very end of that chapter and talked about how she come back. And then we looked at the faith of Ruth, and she said, entreat me not to leave thee, verse number 16 of chapter 1, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee, for where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. What a testimony, amen. What words of in the Bible. And then we looked at the making the right choices. And Orpha and Ruth here, they had to make a choice. Everybody has to make a decision what path they're going to take. The Bible says it's a whosoever will gospel. Whosoever will. Amen. You have to decide for yourself. Your mom and daddy can't decide. Nobody else can decide for you. You have to decide whether you want to go with the Lord or not. And then we look last time we preached at the end of chapter 1 on verses 20 and 21. And we preached on just a simple thought, her brokenness. We preached on being broken. And she was broken. And you know, the Lord's broke a lot of things in the Word of God. And he's not trying to break us, but he's trying to make us. Amen. Amen. And she said she went out full and came in empty. But when she left, she said she was empty. Yeah. Amen. That's why they left, because of the famine. Amen. I tell you what, God can turn us around and get our priorities in the right direction. Well, the book of Ruth is one of the most precious pictures. And I appreciate the two songs that was sung, especially the song that was sung about grace. I'm going to preach about grace a little bit tonight. The book of Ruth is one of the most precious pictures of the grace and mercy of our wonderful God. Amen. How that he would take, in the story of Ruth, the Gentile woman who comes out of a pagan land of Moab, and accepts her and puts her into the family of Boaz. And as we would say, that's what God does to every sinner. Amen. We came out of Moab. We came out of the land of no bread. We came out of a place being pagan, away from God, deprived, in a deprived nature. We came out sinners, and God saved us and put us into his heavenly family. Amen. What a blessing that is to know. Matter of fact, when we look at the book of Ruth, we look at these characteristics in the book of these characters, you'll see the regression of Elimelech, the regressive saint, as he's going away from God. I wonder, I trust none of us is here being like an Elimelech. Amen. The Lord is my God. Amalek's name means my God is king, and we're going away from him and regressing, getting away. It's really easy to drift. Really easy. You know, you can drift sitting on a pew in the Baptist church. We see the regressing saint in Elimelech. We see the rebellious sons in Mahlon and Chilion. They knew it was right to take wives of a foreign city. Yeah. They knew that. But they didn't care. They've been raised in that. I'll tell you what, it does matter where you have your children. Yeah. It doesn't matter what kind of environment you have your children in. And so he took them down there in Moab. They married daughters down there. Then we see the returning saint. Naomi, she returns back. But oh, I like this. We see the repentant sinner, Ruth. Amen. Yeah. And she comes to God. You also see the rejected sinner, and that's Orpah. But then you see the redeeming Savior, Boaz. Amen. So that's some of this thoughts there on the characteristics. Matter of fact, I don't think I've gave y'all this outline. I've gave you several outlines on the book of Ruth. You said, preacher, why do you do that? It does two things. It gives you something to listen to, and it gives me something to settle down in. Amen. And it gives me an ideal work. Everything in the text and chapter number one, and I just like it. Now, if you don't like it, just sleep during the introduction, and you can go somewhere else. Maybe when you get enjoying the preaching part of it, amen. But we see in chapter number one, I read this, and I just, it's not mine. If it was mine, we'd really be excited about it. But Ruth's noble choice. We see love's decision. Isn't that wonderful? And we see this. We see Ruth's history. And then we see, in chapter number two, we see Ruth's lowly labors. And that's what we're going to preach on tonight, about them labors that she's in the field. We see love's service. And then we see Ruth's humility, how she humbled herself. And then in chapter number three, you'll see Ruth's tender appeal as she comes to Boaz. You'll see love's desire. Oh, Boaz and Ruth's love was blossom in chapter number three. And then you see Ruth's hope. She's got a redeeming, she's got a kinsman redeemer. Amen, a kinsman redeemer. Y'all know, many of y'all know what that means. And then Ruth's marriage in chapter number four, and every young lady, amen, amen. Ruth's marriage in chapter number four, and then she sees love's reward, and we see Ruth's home in chapter number four. But let's go to chapter number two. And in the book of Ruth, you see many things. In the book of Ruth, you see a book of gloom, but oh, you see also a book of grace. You see a book that speaks about death. But oh, you see a book that speaks about life. Yeah. When you look at the book of Ruth. You see the book of Ruth, you'll see about one that's returning. You'll see one about redemption. You'll see a book of sobbing and crying, but also of shouting and praising the Lord when we get to the end. So we see these things about the book. You'll see failure, but you also see faith in this wonderful, wonderful book. And it's a book of romance. Even though the word love is not even mentioned in the book of Ruth, it is still a book of romance. And we see how wonderful this love affair between these two. And we want to look at it, Ruth chapter number two tonight if we can. We want to look at it just for a moment. And I want to speak on Ruth's reaping or finding grace. I can title it any way you want to, finding grace or Ruth's reaping. And so I hadn't settled on what kind of title. So I'll give you two titles and I'm going to preach 2 hours. 1 hour for, no, I'm just joking. I won't do that. Chapter number two, verse number one. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now that is just mentioned. Now, Ruth and Naomi don't have any thought about that at this moment. In our text, this is just getting us to let us know what's fixing to take place, what's fixing to happen. And so it's verse number two. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find, can you read that word with me? Grace. Amen. So she went to finding grace. She was going to look for some grace. Amen. And the Bible says, and she said unto her, go, my daughter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you'll help us tonight. God, we need you. God, we need the Spirit of God to move in our hearts and move in our lives. God, we need the Spirit of God to move in our midst. We need you, Father, to touch hearts. We need you to touch us. God, we're just man. And Father, without you, we can do nothing. And I pray you'll help us tonight to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Stir us and stir others through your Spirit. God, as I preach one message, you can preach 1,000. And God, I pray, Father, you'll brew in the hearts of your people. And God, you'll convict and you'll convince and you'll cheer and you'll challenge. And God, you'll bring conversion to those that need to be saved. And God, you'll bring consolation to those that are sad and discouraged. God, whatever is needed in this building tonight, God, I pray you'll help the needs of your people tonight. Meet those needs. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. When we look into the Word of God here, first of all, we see Ruth's departing. She said this, she said, let me now go. And so does Jesus departing. She's departing looking for somebody to show her favor, somebody to show her grace, somebody to show her mercy. She's a stranger in a strange land. I'm telling you, that's a picture of a sinner, just like you and I. We were strangers in a strange land. Amen. We realize that here we're lost. The Bible says all is sin and comes short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. You, each one of us, you know what we needed? We needed a Savior. Amen. We needed somebody to give us grace. We needed somebody to find favor. We needed mercy. And so she seeks out to find some grace. It looked like she said this in verse number 2. Go to get some corn after in whom sight I shall find his fine favor. But no, it wasn't favor. She used that word grace. Amen. That grace, we understand, is a favor of God. We understand grace gives us the mercy of God and the tenderness of God and the kindness of God. But boy, she uses that word grace. And there's just something about that word grace. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, there's something about this going out. And you know what we find? We find that she finds grace. Look at verse number 10.
Yeah.
Well, let me go back just a little bit. And she, verse number 7, here, well, let's just keep reading. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. Now, she didn't know this now. Who was the kindred, was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Hey, he spies Ruth out there. And he said, who is she? Well, I'm glad the sweet spirit of God one day seen me out in the field, lost and undone. And he wanted to know. And he realized whose I was. I was not of the kindred of Elimelech. I was not saved. I was one that was a heathen, a pagan, a lost person. And then look at verse number 6. And the servant that was set over the reapers, here's the unnamed servant, answers and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and having continued even from the morning until now, and she tarry a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, and he begins to speak to her. He says this to her. He said, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maiden. He said, I want you to be a part of those that's coming and reaping in my field. I want you to be a part. And then he said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? He said, you know what? I want to be your protector. Amen. I want to be your provider. That's what I want to be. And when thou art athirst, he said, when you're thirsty, when you need a drink of water, he said, I want to be your drink of water. Amen. Yeah. Go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then notice here, we see not only Ruth's departure, but we see Ruth's dependence. Yeah. She falls on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace? I'm telling you what, that's what all of us should be doing tonight. Brother Hub just made mention to it. Hey, all of us, we should be on our knees praising God and thanking Him for the grace that He's bestowed upon you and I. I don't tell you what's wrong with Philadelphia Baptist Church. I don't tell you what's wrong with the churches in America. You and I have forgot what God has done for us.
Amen.
So, if you must realize, see, many of you got saved when you was young and didn't live out in sin. Some in the building tonight went out into sin and lived in sin and then got saved. But probably a lot that was in here tonight have been saved from a young age. And that's wonderful. But the only thing about that is you forget what grace has done for you.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother Derek, you got saved as a young boy. Amen. Now, a lot of us, like me, I got saved just at 7 years old. But when I turned about 18, I drifted away from the Lord just for a little bit of period of time. And then I come back at 20, so just a little bit of period of time there, I walked in the world. But you know, even walking in the world, you know what I had? I had the Spirit of God living inside of me. And that Spirit of God kept me from doing a lot of things that maybe worldly people or people that was lost would do, because I had that Spirit in me, amen. Convicting me and causing me to realize, hey, this is wrong. You don't want to be doing this. Hey, don't get involved in that. Now, see, a sinner don't have that. Huh? I mean, he has Satan pushing him.
Yeah.
Oh, to get in there. Get in. Oh, yeah, there's something good. If it feels good, do it. He has that Satan in the world pushing him and society pushing him. But oh, thank God I had the grace of God, the Spirit of God living inside of me, and it protected me. Made provisions for me. Even when I was away from God, it still made provisions for me. And I'm so thankful for that.
Hey.
But it says sinners don't have that. Sinners don't have that protected hand. And they're just being pushed in. And so, but you and I as Christians tonight, we really don't, I don't know if we really grasp tonight what God has done for me. I was in a meeting one time, and a man got up fixing to preach. He said, "I'm glad I'm saved." And he got all excited. And he just kept on saying, "I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved." And other people started getting excited. So we just don't, I don't know if you really understand what it means to say, "I'm saved."
Yeah.
See? We have forgot. So I mean, she was totally dependent on somebody else meeting her needs. She had no money to buy food, no doubt. I mean, they just came, made the trip. They've just come back in time of barley harvest. And, I mean, they're not wealthy. She's totally dependent upon the favor and grace of someone else.
Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah, that's right.
We cannot lift ourselves up out of sin. I don't care how good you was when you got saved, you still was an awful sinner.
Yeah.
If I could put it this way, oh, man. If I wish I could picture this, get this thing pictured like I want to picture it. But do you realize I'm talking about the sweetest, most kindest, most wonderful little young girl, little young boy in this service tonight? You know what they are? They're a wretched sinner.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And do you realize that the Bible says the wages of sin is death? And because of Adam and Eve's sin, we're from a one man sin in the world, death by sin, so death passed on all men, for all have sinned.
Yeah.
And they're wretched. And guess what? That awful, awful place called hell. That's where you and I was headed.
Right.
Not because of our deeds was so bad, but because we were sinners.
Right. Yeah.
Now I wish I could get us to see tonight. We're sinners. We're sinners. We were sinners. And we could not lift ourselves up. All the good little things I would do for mom or dad, all the good little things that you would do, all the things you would strive to do, all the times you would try to be good and try to behave and all the different things as a child. All those times meant nothing in the eyes of God.
Amen.
You that's sitting here, your good citizenship, being a good citizen and going and vote, and I agree you ought to do that. You paying your taxes, I agree you ought to do that. You trying to live in our citizen and obeying the laws of the land, I agree you should do that. But it don't weigh 1 ounce. I'm talking about just not even 1 ounce.
No.
1 iota, whatever iota is.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't even know what that thing is. That means nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. When to merit God's favor. I mean, it don't even attract a tinkle out of his eye. I mean, it don't attract anything. You know, it don't attract anything. I mean, not anything out of his eye. It don't, nothing. It don't, you know, a little glare, a little twinkle that'll come into your eye. When I blink my eyes, you'll see a little spark. I'm telling you, it won't even gain God's attention. Y'all ain't getting this. That's all right. It won't gain anything. So what the problem is you got sold on humanism. Y'all, half of y'all are sold on humanism. I'm a pretty good person.
Yeah.
You know. As a matter of fact, God was pretty, it was a good thing God finally got me. Amen. No, can I tell you, if God wanted to, He could lift up the rocks. I tell you, all you are, really, even after you're saved, all you are is just a disobedient servant, most of us. You remember, I think I preached this Wednesday night, and I'll say it again. It's all right, y'all can't remember it. And Jonah. Hey, God needed a whale to swallow Jonah. Whale went over and swallowed Jonah.
Yeah.
He needed a storm to rock the boat. Winds and the waves and the rain, they want to. But he needed a servant to go preach a message, and Jonah said no.
Yeah. Come on.
I mean, our best, we're terrible. We're awful. Now, see, can y'all get the picture? I want you to get it. If I can picture it to you. Let's see if she can help me. Hey, if I can picture this thing for you. She is a stranger. In the economy of that day, Brother Steve, she's thought of as a dog.
Yes, right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's
exactly
right.
To the Jews, they was prejudiced.
Yeah.
Amen. And to her, to them, she was an outcast. She was no better than just a dog. The only problem is our dogs get better treatment than what they was getting.
Yeah.
Amen. But it was just like a dog. If I could liken it more to something you could understand, in our day, she'd be considered, and y'all going to laugh about this, but she'd consider me more like a chicken. Y'all could care less about a chicken. Y'all could.
Right.
And they could care less about her.
Amen.
Amen. I seen one of those Fruit of the Loops people, you know, wanting to save the chickens. Yeah. They got feelings and all that. That's great. One of them wanting to save a fish. Even grabbed somebody's fish and throw it back in the water. Man, I got mad. I thought he was going to whoop him. Amen. He should have, probably, but anyway. But we've loved animals so much, we don't know. When I say dog, that don't mean much, y'all. Y'all thinking of, yeah, what is his name, Yellow something? Oh, Yellow. Y'all think, oh, Yellow, the tears coming, y'all. I'm trying to get y'all to see that. I'm telling you, when they looked at this stranger, this pagan, she was nothing. In their economy now, she was nothing. Are y'all getting this? Maybe I'm pushing it too hard. She was nothing. Can I tell you, when you and I, we're nothing. But yet God loved you and I. God showed us grace. And it should be hooed us. And it should not be no problem for us to die, to put our face down and thank God and say, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Why have I found grace in your eyes? So we can't even get that. I can't even get the feeling that you're getting that. I mean, why? Because we just think we're pretty good. You know it. We can't thank love. That's why sometimes you go to the mission field and get people saved. And I mean, they are just so humble that God would save them. But I'm telling you, that ought to be here in America. That ought to be here at Philadelphia Baptist Church. We should be crying out, oh, why have I found grace in my eyes? Well, she humbles her. We see her dependence. Ruth is getting a picture of grace. She's experiencing grace. She's experiencing favor and mercy from somebody that does not need her. That does not, in his economy, in his day, she is nothing but like a dog. She's nothing. But yet she's found grace in the eyes of somebody. Look what she said. Found grace in the eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me. Come on now, help me out now. That God would take knowledge of us.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a little 7-year-old boy sitting in Alabama. That helped some of y'all right there, didn't it? I'm talking about taking knowledge of a little boy in Alabama, 7 years old. God took knowledge. Hey, do you remember the night that God took knowledge of you, the day that God took knowledge of you?
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing. God would take knowledge. I mean, she is down on her knees. She is bowed before this man. And hey, she is reverencing this man, if you will. Being down on your knees, bowing for him is almost just like worship. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what you and I should be doing. Why have I found grace in the eyes that you would take knowledge of me? Seeing I am a stranger. Oh, she knew what they thought about her. She knew how they felt about her. Again, Can you imagine? She's going out with these maidens, these other ladies. And these other ladies are widows too. They could be of the household of faith. They could be of the house of Israel. And she's having to rub shoulders with them. They don't want her there. They don't want her because so share that means they get less food. It means they get less. They're, you know, there's just, and so she's not wanted there. They don't want her. But I'm glad there's a heavenly Boaz that wants you and I. I'm glad there was a loving Boaz that had grace to bestow it on, even though she was a stranger. Amen. So her total dependence is on the favor, the mercies of God. They asked the preacher, the evangelist, the revivalist, they called him a Gypsy Smith. They asked him in his old age. He started preaching when he was saved at the age of 17. He preached until he went to be with the Lord at the age of 82. Someone asked him, how, not too long before he died, asked him, what has kept you going with such passion and power all these years? And this is what Gypsy Smith replied, I've never lost the wonder of it all. I'm telling y'all, we've lost the wonder. The wonder that he would love you and I. The wonder that he would bestow grace upon you and I. The wonder that he would allow you and I to be part of the family of God. We've lost the wonder of his marvelous grace of God. Thank God for his saving grace tonight. Thank God for his saving grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not itself, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace, my friend. Thank God for the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God for his grace. Thank God for the saving grace, but also for the serving grace. Paul said this in Ephesians, unto me who am the least than the least of all saints. Boy, he's humbling himself, ain't he? He realized what God has done. God has touched him. Is the grace given that I should preach? Oh, I'm glad God gives us grace to serve God. Amen. Then the sufficient grace. Paul there prays to God three times for that to be lifted, that thorn in the flesh. And God said, my grace is sufficient. I'm glad there's sufficient grace.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad there's sufficient grace. You said, what in the world is that? I had to look it up too. Amen. I was trying to find a word for abundant. Amen. I'm glad he's got abundant grace.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, but where sin abound, grace does much more abound. At abounding. Abundant. So I looked up at abounding. And I finally found a word that's synopsis with it. And it's S-U-F-E-I-T. And it means excessive amount of something. Guess what? You and I have got an excessive amount of grace. Sufficient grace. That's what it's called. Sufficient grace. Hey, look, we got an excessive amount of grace.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't getting this. That's all right. Amen. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Because you know what? When we get to heaven, I'm going to be sitting back somewhere. And I'm going to watch some of y'all walk into the gate. And you're going to see the grace of God when you see the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to fully get the whole magnification of it. And I'm going to laugh and have myself a time. Said, you know what? Y'all could have enjoyed that when you were down on earth. You could have had a little bit of heaven. If you just let your mind imagine a little bit how wonderful God has been to you and I. And his grace has abounded towards you and I. His abounding grace. Amen. For we have sin abound. Grace did much more abound. Amen. Thank God for the grace of God. We see Ruth's dependence, but we also see Ruth's duty. Now, this is when it gets rough. Look at verse number 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that she had gleaned. It was about an effin of barley. You know what Ruth was faithful to do? She was faithful to carry out her duty. She put a full day's work in. She gleaned throughout the afternoon, even into the evening. And then she beats out, threshes out, whatever you want to call it. She threshes out what she gleaned. And the threshing was done with a rod, with loosening the kernels from the chaff by beating it. She could then carry it home and it just be pure grain. And she beats off the ephah. And matter of fact, J. Vernon McGee said the value of it was a pretty good day's labor. I mean, it was a pretty good day's. This was a great day's pay. What she done. And it weighed about 30 pounds. A bushel. What about that? And so she beats that out. That's pretty good your first day on the job.
Yeah,
amen. And so and all that's why? Because of the favor, the grace, the mercy, the tenderness of God. But there's an important lesson to learn here about Ruth. Even though she's found grace. And you know what, Ruth, you know what? Ruth didn't allow Boaz grace to keep her and give her excuse to sit down and do nothing.
Yeah.
Now, matter of fact, he gave her suffice to feed her. You read it there. He fed her at lunch or supper time there. He fed her somewhere in there. So she had enough to feed her. She was already sufficed. And then she beats everything out. And then she's fixing to go, and she's going to Naomi. And the Bible says she takes and eats for herself, and then she gives to Naomi.
Yeah.
Amen. What I'm trying to say is, even though she experienced the grace of God, she was willing. She was willing. Even though she experienced the grace of God, she was willing to still work.
Yeah.
She didn't just sit down. She didn't just stop. Hey, just because you and I have got the grace of God don't mean that we're not going to do something for God.
Hey.
Just because we're saved don't mean we don't share the gospel with somebody else. If I could put it like this. There's a lot of people who like to talk about grace, but they don't like to share it.
Amen.
There's some that like to talk about the grace of God, but they don't even attend church half the time. There's some that like to talk about the grace of God, but they won't even tithe.
Yeah.
There's some that talk about the grace of God, and they won't even work in the field. They won't teach a Sunday school class. Be an usher. Hey, they won't take on a responsibility in the church. Amen. They won't do any of that. Why? I don't know why. They like to talk about grace. They like to, they won't experience grace. Someone said that grace alone saves, but the grace that saves is not alone. Amen. What did James say? But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I preached about it this morning. I'm telling you, because you and I have experienced the grace of God. Because you and I have the grace. I'm talking about the saving grace of God. The sufficient grace of God. I'm talking about the serving grace of God. While we experience His grace, Ruth has experienced. She said, why have you found grace in thy eyes? Why have I found grace in thine eyes? She's experienced His grace, and she continues to work. The gracious man that Boaz was, he could have gave her just grain. He could have gave a bushel of grain himself, but he didn't. Why? He wanted her to be involved in the work.
Amen.
He wanted her to continue to labor.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, God's looking for some laborers in the field.
Yeah.
God's looking at some people that are saving grace of God. I'm talking about Ruth's duty. She was still willing to work, even though she's experienced amazing grace of God, just like you and I. She was still willing to work. Then we see Ruth's, I'm hurrying. Then we see Ruth's dependable. She had her dependability. Well, you could depend on Ruth.
Yeah.
The Bible says, look at verse number 18. And she took it up, talking about barley, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and brought forth, and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. After she had gleaned, I'm talking about after she had gleaned, worked all day, after she threshed all that out, then she picks up this 30 pounds of and carries it always back to her mother-in-law, Naomi. She'd enjoyed the good grace of God. She was not only enjoying the good grace of Boaz's grace, but you know what she was willing to be? She was willing to be a vessel to extend that grace to somebody else. She was willing to take that which God had blessed her with, and she was willing to share it with others. Oh, how about us? What about us? When's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? When's the last time you told somebody about the grace of God? The grace that saved you. The grace that sustains you. The grace that keeps you. Hey, that sufficient grace. Hey, when's the last time you shared it with somebody? She was so thankful of the grace of God, what God had done. And then we see Ruth's determination. I'm ending right here. Look at verse number 23. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean into the end of barley. She worked all the way to the end.
Yeah.
She labored all the way to the end. I want you, there's two truths to learn from this. First of all, we see her submission. She kept fast by the maidens. Why? Why did she keep fast by the maidens? Do you remember back in a few verses I read? Well, who? Boaz told her what to do.
Yeah.
She was submissive to the words of her Boaz.
Yeah.
She was willing to obey what he said. She was willing to do and fulfill what he said to do. Hey, you and I have been saved by the marvelous grace of God. You and I that have experienced the abounding grace of God, the marvelous, amazing grace of God. Are we willing to work and labor? I mean, all the way to the end. Hey, I'm not interested as much how you start. But I tell you what, we'll be interested in how you end. Yeah. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Amen. Are you finishing? Amen. Ruth's determination. She was submitted. The need of the hour today and God's people simply to submit and follow God's word. We don't have to be no doctor. We don't have to be a theologian. You and I can read this Bible and see what we're supposed to do. We know what God's expecting out of us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's pretty simple, isn't it? The Bible tells us to come be unspotted from this world. The Bible teaches us so many things. And yet, we know it. And he that knoweth to do good, do not him is what? Sin.
Hey.
You know, the Bible says it's better to obey than to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Amen. Ruth is the example of obeying and abiding. I mean, she stayed where she was supposed to stay. She stayed with the stuff. He says she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean to the end of barley harvest. Second thing, not only was she submissive to what he, but she was steadfast.
Yeah.
She just stayed in there, the stuff. You know what she was doing every day? She was going into the field gleaning. Every day she's going in there with those same maidens. I'm talking about those same maidens now. They didn't like her the first day. Now she's caught the eyes of Boaz. But they see her over there talking to Boaz and he's handing her stuff. And she's walking in there and getting to eat right with the reapers. And them maidens out there. I mean, they're part of the Jews. Amen. Some of them was now. There's widows. But they wasn't allowed to go in there, but she's allowed to go in there. She's a Moabite. I'm telling you what God has done for you and I as children of God. Hey. How God has saved us. How God has spared us. How God has supplied us and blessed us. I'm telling you what, this world don't like us.
Yeah.
Some of them don't like our God. I know that. But some of them don't like us because of the blessings God bestowed upon us.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Amen. Can you imagine? She's just steadfast. I can hear those maidens talk about her, who she thinks she is. And I'm Christian. Amen. Look at the way she acts. And she just thinks she's something, don't she? Well, we are something. We've been saved by the marvelous grace of God. We're children of the King, child of the King. We have a heavenly Father. Now, I know we're not being raised up in pride. I understand that. But, hey, we are somebody. God took a nothing and made it a somebody. God took a nobody and made it a somebody. That's what God done. I'm talking about the steadfastness of Ruth. She was willing to continue to go to the barley harvest. Now this is etymology. And you know what you do with etymology? You can take it and throw it out and do what you want to. But I believe Boaz honestly fell in love with Ruth.
Yeah.
I believe that's what, don't you? I mean, from the context, oh, yeah. I mean, we can put that. I mean, he finally makes her his wife.
Yeah.
Be nice to love your wife. You know. But I don't think that happened just, I know when he seen her, but no doubt there was conversations that took place while she was in the field. He came this time and visited in the field in chapter number 2. He said, whose damsel is this? He goes to her in the field, or goes to there somewhere near at least. Anyway, I know it says she's abiding in the house a little bit, but he goes, he talks to her, he converses with her and tells her to stay with his maidens and tell him what he's told the men not to bother her, and he's going to protect her and he's going to provide for her. She's a thirsty, she can go get some water. He's talked to her. And then he told her to put some handfuls on purpose down for her.
Yeah. Right.
Can you? Now, I guarantee you some of them maidens seen that going on. That was the talk of the town about the fifth day. Amen. The little ladies all got over there and they're talking. Oh, did you see? I seen that reaper. And he was taking stuff out of his bag and putting it down right in front of her where she could get it. Oh, it made me so mad. You know it was a talk. And then, no doubt, some of them went to the higher person that was over the reapers. I want y'all to know what's going on. We have been observing. And we have noticed that some of your reapers is dropping some handfuls on purpose. I mean, handfuls. I mean, they just put it there right in front of her where she can get it. Right where they know she's reaping. We give her this little area. There ain't hardly anything there. And we go over there and she's getting a whole bag full. I mean, they're just dropping it over there. We put her behind the very best reaper. The one, I mean, that picks it. I mean, don't leave hardly any behind. And she's getting a whole bag full and we're behind the worst reaper. I mean, he could care less what he's a reaping. Amen? And we can't even get half a bag full. And we just want to report this gentleman here. They got something going on. There's something going on here. We think he ought to be fired or be beaten or something. Amen. And you know what that keeper... Well, we've been commanded by the man in charge.
Amen.
Give some handful of purpose. For her. Oh, you know they love that. I'm trying to tell you, that's what God has done down here.
Yeah, man.
You know the only reason we can't grasp that? Because most of us, oh, pity is me for all the bad things that's happened to me. Oh, woe is me. We forgot about the goodness of God.
Amen.
The grace of God. I mean, hey, yes, our loved ones are going to get sick. Yes, our family is going to suffer separation by death. Yes, all those things. But I tell you what, it's different for you and I than it is for the world. So when I walked down that day, my mother was in that coffin. When I looked into her eyes, looked at that old clay that was left behind, Brother Steve, I had a hope. Brother David, I had a hope. Brother Freed, I had a hope. This is not the end. I got to say goodbye right now. But there's a getting up morning one day. There's a getting up time one day. Hey, there's one day you and I are going to be in heaven forever. We're going to unite with the saints one day. Hey, I had the blessed hope of the believer.
Hallelujah.
Oh, man, we got something. That's a handful of purpose, ain't it? That's something we got that the world don't have. The Bible says we don't have to sorrow as others that have no hope.
Amen.
Her steadfastness. I know I'm on the short end of this, what I'm fixing to say. But from here to the end, whatever, however long the Lord lets me live, there's going to be some dark days. There's going to be things that comes in the McCulley family. There's things that came in the past, but there's going to be other things that comes in the future. There's finally coming a day when Tim McCulley will get sick. I've had great health, and I thank God for that. And I don't want to get sick. I fear that. There'll be a day when Miss McCullough gets sick. And there'll be a day when our steps are slow and determined. I mean, they're slow. If you're going to make another step, you have to determine to do it. Those days are coming. It's getting old is not what it's cracked up to be. Amen. And it's coming. Maybe sooner or later, but it's coming. I hope it's way down the road somewhere, but it's coming. But even when it comes, I'm preaching above my knowledge right now. I trust that God will give me the strength. But next, I trust God to give me the strength like He has you to keep on coming to the house of God.
Amen.
We've had some that lost their mates and they're forsaking the house of God. But the best thing to do, Brother Charles, is like you to keep on coming to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you what, even though The greatest prize you had here upon this earth was Sister Elaine. God's still not done you wrong. Amen. Amen. Because He saved us. And He gave us a blessed promise that when we leave this world, and this world is just a temporal thing, that we're going to live in heaven together forever and ever and ever. And there'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more separation. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more of this wicked world. There'll be no more Satan. Oh, what a day. Help us to be steadfast. Help us to labor all the way to the end of the barley harvest. Help us to stay faithful all the way to the end. Ruth was steadfast. She was steadfast.
Yeah.
She was steadfast. I wonder, will you be steadfast? Will you be steadfast? There's hard days coming. She got up some days and it was cold. She got up some days and it was rainy. But if they was going to eat that week, somebody had to go to the field and labor.
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody had to go and labor. I'll tell you what, somebody's going to have to be in the field laboring. If I can say it like this, Philadelphia Baptist Church, I'm not preaching to nobody else, Philadelphia Baptist Church. In the last few years, well, 16 years, everybody we've lost has been good people. I know that. But it's time for some of you that are younger to fill the shoes of those that's passed away. Came, I know some of y'all say this, and I've heard you say it, don't get mad at me. But this, you shouldn't do this. When one of these young kids come up and says, Mr. McCulley, or Mr. Don't call me Mr., that was my dad. I know y'all don't like me, but you're older now. Right. Amen. You're old. Well, you like it not, you're older now. You are the Mr. now, buddy. Some of you might not want that because you don't want the responsibility that comes along with it. You are the dad now. You are the grandpa now. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I hear that. Some of our kids be around, especially my kids, when they were talking to people, we always tell them to call them Mr., you know. And they'd say, Mr. Thomas. And I don't know how many times, especially when they say Mr. Thomas. Oh, no, that's me. These ladies don't like to claim being old. I know it. But the men, no, that was my dad. That's my dad. That's what we call my dad. I'm Kevin. Yeah. That's my dad, Mike. He said, yeah. No? How old are you now?
40.
Whew. Okay. You still call him Kevin. Not his job. Oh, Lord. I thought he was older than that. How old are you, brother? 56. Hey, man. 56. You call him Mr. You know I'm telling the truth. We do want to shirk that responsibility. You probably said it. You said, oh, don't call me Mr. Don't call me Mr. That was my grandma. That was my mom. But you're shirking responsibility. That is responsibility of being steadfast for each and every one of us. It's time for you to pick it up. It's time for you to labor in the field. It's time for you, because of the grace of God, God has bestowed on you, to be faithful, laboring in the field of the harvest of the saints, the souls of mankind. That sinners might be saved. I wonder, how many of us willing to work in the field? How many of us willing to get up and go and do what the Lord's told us to do? That's what she done. She got up and did what Boaz had asked her to do. She stayed fast by those maidens. You read it, didn't you? That's what your King James Bible said. She stayed fast by them. Amen. I'm going to preach till the music starts. Amen. She stayed fast by them. She just stayed with it. She just kept on and kept on and kept on getting up day and day. Every day, she'd take that, beat it out again, thresh it out. Pick that weight up, carry it back home. You say, well, I'd get tired of that. Some of y'all have got tired of coming to church, Some of you got tired of laboring for the Lord. Some of you got tired of witnessing for the Lord. Some of you got tired of praying. Some of you got tired of reading your Bible. Every day. All the way to the end of barley harvest.
Yeah.
All the way to the end. They're so glad you started playing, sister. She knows I won't quit. I won't do anyway. She knows that. But how about you? Are you willing to labor? Because of what God's done for us. We should want to bow down before Him and say, why have you took knowledge of me? Why have I found grace and not I? Why have you took knowledge of me? We're standing, our heads bowed, Brother Mike's ready to sing. If you need to come, will you come? Let God speak to your heart.